Chapter 6, that's where we're going to start. Looking at what is your ministry, and we've been focusing on the function gifts, the gifts that God uses in the ministry of the practical ministries of the local church. And how He works through, the Holy Spirit works through people in special ways. Certainly things that everyone can do, but God lays on the heart of certain people to do certain things. And through the Spirit, Holy Spirit's power to accomplish in a great ministry. And we've seen in Romans 12, the Bible gives us the list there, and we've looked at three of several in that list. The first one we looked at, the gift of prophecy. Prophecy simply meaning to speak forth or forth speak, and under the influence of God, that would be the Holy Spirit guiding and directing in those ways. Is only the pastor supposed to prophesy? No, anyone that God uses can do that, but certainly it involves a surrender to the Spirit of God and nothing that would disagree with the Bible. That's not prophecy if it disagrees with Scripture. It's not telling God's words. The purpose of prophecy, to edify, exhort, and comfort. And the gift of ministry is what we've been looking at. Ministry just simply meaning to serve. That's common in Scripture. Jesus is the example. We see it was normal in the local church. The idea is to meet needs, specific needs in the local church, and it's done in love for the Heavenly Father and dedication to following Jesus Christ. Examples we looked at were the angels. Remember, the angels ministered to Jesus in the desert when he was attacked by Satan and went through that time of temptation. Peter's mother-in-law. What gave Peter's mother-in-law to minister, by the way? Anybody remember? What gave Peter's mother-in-law to minister, the strength to minister? Jesus did. Yeah, it's Jesus' strength. So that's something to keep in mind as we consider ministry. And, of course, Jesus himself. He met many needs, healed folks, etc. But the main one, of course, for all of us is that he sacrificed on the cross and rose again, met our need for salvation. In the Christian life, we looked at and saw ministering is Christ-like. Those whose main activity is good works that meets the needs. That's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit, the gift of ministry, works through people. It's their main activity or main ministry, etc. Material needs, serving other servants, and providing for physical needs. Let's take a look here in Acts chapter 6. That's where we ended. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Again, we're looking at the New Testament church here. Things were going great. People were getting saved. Thousands are coming to Christ. Well, and then they had their first meeting. Something came up that had to be addressed. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, the Bible here does not say they called them deacons. Did not say that. But as you look at the progression in the New Testament letters, it certainly seems this is a office or a ministry, if you will, that became what deacons are reported of in Scripture. But certainly men who the Bible says they were pretty special men, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, and had an honest report in their character, etc. Who are two that we know for sure that God really used? One that God used and he became the first Christian to die for the name of Christ, Stephen, the first martyr, we call him. We read about that in the book of Acts, and others there that God used in a great way. So that's a specific call to ministry, and the Holy Spirit works in them. God wants to use us to do the same. The gift of ministry. Now we want to look at Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12. And we'll continue on in our list of the function gifts. The works of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, As we've discussed here in Romans 12 and other passages, there's gifts that God uses to meet the practical needs. There's gifts that God uses to manifest His power, and the Holy Spirit is manifested. And there are gifts that are used to perfect or help mature the church for God's good. Where am I going here? Romans chapter 12. All right. And so the categories we've looked at, and these are three different passages, are the function gifts, the manifestation gifts, and the perfecting gifts. We're focusing on the function gifts because that's what God wants to use through all of us in our church, certainly today. I'm in Romans chapter 12 in a minute. Here we go. Still getting some of the stickiness out of the pages here. Chapter 12, take a look, verse number 6 and then 7. Here's what it says. In fact, let's read those together. Would you read with me verse 6, 7, and let's read verse 8 too. Let's read those three. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We'll stop right there. The Bible shares with us the next one we want to focus on, the gift, the Holy Spirit's gift of teaching. Teaching. We'll just get started on that tonight. But let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at the gift of teaching tonight. Lord, we thank you that you use people in our lives to learn about the scriptures, not just to read it through, but to have a way to understand and put it into practice in our life. And we pray, Father, that you would help Grace Baptist Church to be a place where that can be done every time we meet, Lord, that the gift of teaching or just looking in scripture together, we have something we can apply to our life, Lord, and put it to good use for your honor and your glory. We pray even tonight, Lord, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to show us what you would have. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The gift of teaching. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. I do have some scripture here I'm going to ask for some help. But Hebrews chapter 5. And who would take, let me ask some help here, Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. 28 verses 18 through 20. And Isaac's going to read that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Thank you. Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And Daryl's going to read that. Thank you. And I think we'll get there. Let's go 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. Who would read that for us? Those two verses. Vicki's got that. And then finally, the last passage, Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And Eric's going to do that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. We're in Hebrews 5. Let's take a look. Verse 8 to verse 14. Let's read responsively. Let's read responsively. I'll read verse 8. If you read verse 9, please, and we'll go back and forth. Verse 14, that's where we'll finish in this passage. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're talking about the gift of teaching, and the Bible tells us that all believers should, here's the blank, grow to teach. All believers should grow to teach. Are we all going to teach at the same level, the same classes, the same material as far as subjects and so forth from Scripture? No, but all of us have something that God wants us to share with somebody else in a sense of teaching. Here's some thoughts as we look at this passage again. Take a look at verse number 9. Here's some things this passage mentions that help us to grow so that we can get to that point. Number 1, verse number 9 tells us that we should be obedient to who? To Jesus. Look at verse 9. It says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obeying Jesus. And Jesus gave us commands to share this type of truth. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Okay, thank you very much. If you remember, of course, that's the what we call the Great Commission, Jesus telling his disciples and certainly applying to all believers to be a witness for him, whether it be worldwide or just right across the street or whatever. But he says, teaching all things whatsoever, who has commanded? I have commanded, he says. Just teach them the things that I have shown you and taught you. Does that mean Jesus is telling us, you know, the rest of the scriptures don't even bother with? Is that what he means by that? No, of course not. But he knows and he's telling them, tell them about the salvation that I've provided. And if you have to start back in Genesis chapter 1, I have a friend who that's where he starts. He starts in Genesis 1, then goes to the Ten Commandments and all these things just to show a person that we have a need for eternal salvation because there's a condemnation on our sin of eternal death. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And we need to share about him. So we need to be obedient to Jesus. You want to grow to what God would have you? Be obedient to Jesus. Verse 11, be teachable. Of whom we have many things to say, speaking about the Lord Jesus, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye, isn't that interesting? Ye are dull of hearing. Now, who is the writer of Hebrews talking to here? Is he talking to, people who protest in Minneapolis? Is he talking to the guys in prison? You know, I just read, I don't know why this, I guess I didn't read the whole thing, but I don't know how many drug cartel criminals brought to the United States from Mexico. Did you see that? Are those the guys he's talking about? He's talking to Christians. Ye are dull of hearing. What does that mean? I'm unwilling to be taught. I'm unwilling to listen. I'm unwilling to take what you're sharing from the Word of God. And whether all of it is what I need or some of it, but I'm unwilling to take it and put it aside. He said, I'm dull. No, be teachable. Be teachable. Verse 14, be applying. Be applying. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Be applying. Take what we learn from God's word, put it into practice in our behavior, in our speech, in how we plan out the week, etc. That helps us to grow. And then he says in verse 14 again, exercise to discern both good and evil. To discern simply means to make a decision. To distinguish what's right and what's wrong. Now, does everybody have a sense of what's right and what's wrong? No. Everybody has their own sense. And you and I have that too, because that's what God put in us is a conscience of what's right and what's wrong. But how do we know whether it's our value system is the same as God's? When we open up the Bible and say, okay, this is how the family is supposed to operate. Remember, Brother Cray talking about, I have a guest speaker going to talk on the family Well, why is he doing that? Because the culture is counter to what God's word says about the family. You know, marriage is not important. I don't know what all is going on in the Netherlands, but it's, you know, if it's like the rest of Europe, it's counter to scripture. And so we need to make our what's right and wrong based on the scriptures, not on just our own sense and feelings. But that helps us as we look in the word of God, as we obey Jesus, as we're willing to be taught, as we apply it, we can learn to discern. And then the last thought here, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 about growing to teach. Okay, thank you. Here, Apostle Paul writing to Timothy says you need to help train some other men. And here's one of the traits these guys need to have. They need to be faithful. They need to be faithful. Hey, you can't get the job done if you're not here. You can't learn if you're not here. Now you say, wait a minute, we got the internet. I can learn everything I need on YouTube. Amen? Well, no, you can't. No, you can't. Service, openness and loving one another, etc., all the things that Scripture tells us about how to live for Christ, these are things we got to do in person. In person. I've talked with people about reading the Bible, people I love, and I've asked them, have you read the scriptures? Well, I've already read through the Bible before. How many have read through the Bible before? Genesis to Revelation. I think everybody in this room, or at least are working on it. How many have memorized Genesis through Revelation? Yeah. And that's why you read it again, don't you? That's why we read it again. That's why we tomorrow, when we wake up or whenever time is available, we put aside, we open up God's word and we say, oh God, would you speak to me again today? Today. If the Bible tells us his mercies are new every day, guess what? We need to get some of that. We need some of God's mercies every day. So the idea is certainly in the church setting to be faithful, to be here, to be a part of what God's working through in his local church. So all believers should grow to teach. But number two here, God has teaching opportunities in store for all believers. So if we're all supposed to grow to teach, God's got teaching opportunities for us all. Here's some that would not necessarily put us in front of the congregation, but they are ways to teach that God shows us how to live for Christ. For example, new believers need basic truths about following Jesus Christ. New believers need basic truths. And you know, some folks have been saved for a long time and they just haven't been through the basic truths of God's word in a Christian life. Children need training and a witness of Jesus Christ. Children need training and a witness of Jesus Christ. That's something we can do at home. And yet God says we can be a part of that, whether we're, you know, have the gift of teaching or not, we still have an opportunity to reach a boy or girl for Christ. Someone with spiritual questions that we have, and we have the Bible's answers too. Have you ever had someone ask you a question that you knew, okay, the Bible talks about this. And it's not in church. Maybe it's at the workplace. Maybe it's even at some other gathering place that you weren't necessarily thinking this day, this is what's going to happen, but somebody asked a question and you said, I got the answer for that, or you knew the answer for that. Well, God brings opportunities like that to us, and we need to be ready to share. God has teaching opportunities in store, but the gift of teaching is something specific God talks about he uses in a person's life in the local church. Here's where we see it in all aspects of the gifts of the Spirit. For example, Romans 12, let's go back there. We read it already, let's look at it again. It's a gift of the Spirit in the function gifts, that's the practical, what is seen, what is done, in the manifestation gifts, that is the mighty power of God, when the Holy Spirit shows himself, and though we're not gonna focus on those things, the sign gifts would be part of that. By the way, are the sign gifts for today? Can anybody come up to you and if you had a broken arm, touch your arm, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, heal that arm just like that? Can anybody do that today? No, they cannot. Not that I've seen. Because Scripture tells us that part of those sign gifts was to draw people's mind to Jesus. That this is done so that Jesus Christ could come into their life. But is prayer and answers to prayer? Can we still pray that somebody's arm can heal? Yes. And does God heal it? Well, 6 to 8 weeks, that's what it takes. But certainly it has to be, you know, all various details need to be done properly. So yeah, God does certainly work. But the manifestation gifts, and we'll look at the last one in just a minute. So let's take a look, Romans 12, in regards to God using teaching in all these various ways. Verse number 6 and 7, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Again, in the relation to the function of the local church. Then what about 1 Corinthians 12? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 8 talks about what manifestation gifts God would use in the sense of teaching, which certainly would be helpful for a teacher. Verse 7 and 8, and Vicki's got that. Okay, thank you. And then it goes on and talks about several other things. But the first two mentioned is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Friends, if you're trying to teach somebody, it's good to know what you're talking about. Amen? Yeah. It's good to know. And here in the New Testament church, in Corinth and in others at the time, the Holy Spirit used men and women, I think, at times, to share these words of wisdom. What do we have today that they did not have at the time of this writing of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8? We got the completed word of God. We have all the wisdom and knowledge of God in front of us. But we still need the Holy Spirit to show us. What does Proverbs tell us in all thy getting get? Understanding. That's what it says. Even with wisdom and knowledge and all those wonderful things, we still need understanding, and that comes from the leading of the Spirit of God. In the manifestation gifts, it's part of it. And then in the perfecting, that's the blank, the perfecting gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 and Eric Scott, verse 11 through 13. Okay, thank you. We've looked at this briefly in the a few weeks ago. Perfecting gifts are actually people God gives to the church. Here he talks about who those people are: the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is on the list for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to help fit the believer into God's work in the local church, and how to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. Perfecting. Teaching's needed in all aspects of these particular gifts of the Spirit. We're going to stop right there. Next week we're going to look at some reasons. Okay, what are the specific things God says that one who has this gift needs to be concerned about or consider? Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to help us in all these things.